Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Tes. We're holding Mem Ches Amud Beis, roughly 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins Lema Kitanoi. Okay, what is this referring to? We had a machloikis in the middle of the Amud yesterday. If you go just mamish halfway down the Amud, Itmar, a rovoin, a person who gives a down payment, either for real estate or for metaltelet. We have machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. What is the effect of that down payment? Rav Omer, kenegduhu koina. He's koina keneged the amount that he paid. If the moshel, the entire real estate or the entire metalklin cost $100, and he put down a down payment of $10, so he's koina kenegdoi that those $10. What does it mean? He's koina kenegdoi those $10. What happens if they don't pay for the rest of the real estate? He stops at the 10%. So says, Rab, okay, he gets the 10% of the real estate. 10% of the real estate, obviously he's not going to get the whole field, or the whole building, or whatever the real estate is, but he'll get his 10%. Same thing as Lagabe Metalflin, that if at that point he stops and he doesn't pay any more, so we have the din of the Mishapara. The Mishapara will only be with respect to the under 90%, not on that 10%. It's going to be against the entire amount. So, you remember we looked at the Rashi yesterday. Look at Rashi again today. A Ravoin, about 12 lines from the top of the Amud. A Ravoin, Miktas Amoiz, Nosalei Alpisig Maruba. It was a much larger amount. The full amount is $100. And he gave Miktas, he gave $10. Who sabar kenegdu koina imachidus karkahu sheniknis bekesef koina kinyan gomer. He gets kenegdai. After all, we know karka is nikna bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka kinyan gomer. So he gets his 10% of the karka. V'imachidus metalton who koina kenegdai lischayv mishapora vis-a-vis the metalton is koina kenegdai only the 10% which he bought for purpose of mishapora purposes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bekarka Lekinyin Gomur Umetalkel Lekabel Mishapora. Says Rabbi Yochanan Bekarka is the Kinyin Gomur total amount. Umetalkelin Lekabel Mishapora on the total amount. Since you promised to go and give 100, you only gave 10, and you changed your mind. So you have a Mishapora not only with respect to whatever you didn't pay, but for everything. So you have a machlok between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So now here on the bottom of the Gemara, the Gemara says Levi Kitanoi. Let's say that machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is a machloikis tanoi, and that machloikis gets us off a little bit from the inyan of buying real estate or from mishapara, and we go to Hilchos Shmita. What is Hilchos Shmita? As you know, when it comes Shmita year, anybody that has an outstanding choiv, that choiv by definition goes away. Shmita is mishabat, unless of course you write a prusbul, but that's not the discussion in the Gemara. So, if a person has not been able to go and collect his choiv prior to Shmita year, and it comes Shmita year, he's going to have a big problem. Whether Shmita is mishamet pachilu or basoif, again, that's not our sugya. We're just talking in general that Shmita is mishamet. Okay, now there's a famous rule that there is, if you will, an exception to the rule, and that is if the loiv originally gave a mashkin to the malva, assuming that that mashkin was worth the entire amount of the choiv was $100, and he gave him $100 mashkin. So now, if and when the maturity date comes, and the loiv is not able to pay, under the terms of the original promissory note, he, the malva, is able to go and take the mashkin for himself, and we're done. Ah, see, he doesn't have to go and collect or demand payment from the loiva. He has the mashkin. He can take the mashkin and he can keep it, or he can sell it to satisfy the choiv. Now, when it comes to Shmita year, the Torah uses the expression lo yigois es ochiv. Why not? Ki yikoreh Shmita l'Hashem, l'Kadosh Baruch Hu called it Shmita lo yigois. You're not allowed to go and try to collect on your choiv. If, however, you have a mashkin which is worth the entire amount of the choiv, you don't have to collect. You don't have to demand. You don't have to request payment. You got your payment. You got your mashkin. So that's simple halacha of Hilchos Mashkin when it comes to Shmita year. The question of our Gemara is, what happens if the mashkin is only worth a portion, let's say 50% of the loan. The loan was $100, and the matkan that was given was only $50. What happens now? So we have a machlokes here. So Kimar Hamalvis Chaveira ala Mashkin, person who lent money based on a mashkin. V'nichlas ha-shmita, now it's shmita here. Says the Gemara, Avu Bisha Eni Shove El Plak, even though it's only worth 50%, Einoi Mishamet. It's not Mishamet. Shmita is not Mishamet, meaning that you can continue to collect. What exactly does that mean? Says Rashi, the Gemara Mefarsh. We'll see in the Gemara shortly what that means. That's Divrei Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is arguing with Shimon ben Gamliel. Em hoye mashkin keneged halva osoy, eina mishamet. If the mashkin was keneged halva, that means it was the full amount. Halva was $100, the mashkin was $100, eina mishamet. Then the Shemitah is not mishamet the choyv, because then the malv is able to collect on the choyv just by grabbing hold of the mashkin. Done. So there's no loyigois violation. I don't have to demand and kvetch the loan for payment. I got my payment from the time of the original loan. I have my mashkin. The imlav, however, what happens if the mashkin is not keneged alva, it's only 50%, then it is mishamit, then shmita takes over and is mishamit the chayf. So now we have a machlok between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yehuda Nasi, and we return again to Rav Shimon Gamliel. What did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? That if the mashkin is not worth the entire amount of the choyv, it's only worth plag, eina mishamet. Pray Timora, my eina mishamet to come Reb Shimon Gamliel. What does that mean? Ile mekenegdoi, does that mean that vis-a-vis the 50%, it's not mishamet, but is mishamet the rest of the choyv? In other words, the mashkin has only been able to help you on the 50% that you have collected, the mashkin. But the other 50% is still outstanding. And their Shemitah is Meshamet, and you won't be able to collect the other 50%. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says. Now let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Im hayamashkin keneged halva, eina Meshamet. The imlav, but if the mashkin is not, then it's Meshamet. So what does that mean, Meshamet? If you're telling me that it's Meshamet, the other 50%, that's the same thing as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Elamai, what means Meshamet? Mechlal, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Sober, lahach pal genami Meshamet. That Shemitah is so overwhelming that even the 50% of the mashkin Shemitah is Meshamet, which means he cannot collect anything. Gunish. So what's the purpose of holding on to the mashkin? The whole purpose of taking a mashkin every time you take a halva, so that at least you don't have to collect that amount. Any malva that lends money to the loiva always says in the back of his mind, the loiva is a nice guy, he's a trustworthy guy. However, what happens if he doesn't have the money? But if I have a mashkin, I don't have to collect. If I have a full mashkin for the full amount, that would really be great. But if I don't have for the 100%, I have for the 50%, no, this is best to be gunished. At least I have 50%. On that 50%, I will not have to make a demand for payment because I already have it. So, Ibazoi, how could Rabbi Yehuda Nasi say that even on that 50%, Shemitah is Meshamet, and you cannot collect on that part of the Choyv? What's the whole purpose of taking the Mashkin? The whole Mashkin is so that piece of the Choyv has already been paid. El Lav Shmamina, Muznach Zogu, what's the real Machloikis of Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? My Eina Meshamet, the Kamer of Shimon Gamliel, Eina Meshamet Bekuloi. When we say in a Meshamet, means that as a result of holding on to a mashkin, even though the mashkin is only worth 50%, this is a good exemption vis-a-vis Shemitah, that Shemitah is not Meshamet any part of the Choyv, not only the 50% that he's holding in his hand. It's not even Meshamet the other 50%. Umay Meshamet the Kamer Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Lahach Palga, Tuloy Nokinale Mashkin. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that Shemitah is Meshamet, he means on the other 50% that he's not holding a Mashkin. Nu Ibazoi, so what's the Machloikis over here? Upakamilfahi, Rabshim Gamliya Sabra Kineged Kulei Hukaina. When a person owns, when a person receives a Mashkin at the time of the halva, it's not only that he's been koyle the mashkin keneged the 50% that it's worth. It's worth $50. That's for sure. He's koyle, but it's keneged kulo hu koyle. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sober keneged hu koyle. That it's only Koine Kenegid, that 50%. So the 50% that he has, that he can go and keep, but he cannot go and collect the other 50%. Nu Oivazoi, so this Machloikus of Kenegdoi, or Kenegid Kulai, that's mamish word for word, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Legabi Hilchois Misha Para, and Legabi Hilchois being Koine real estate, Koine Karka, whether it's Kenegdoi, or Kenegid Kulai. So the Choya, the Gemara is right, the Machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan is not only Machloikus Amoiroin, it's a machloikis tanoim. Etoch kerech. Everything more not nishkaraya. Right. My enemy sham to come Rabshim Gamliel. We go back to the original chat. Lahach palge de noker alei mashkin. When it says Eina Mishamet, means it's not Mishamet on that 50% of the mashkin that he's holding, but is Mishamet on the other 50%. Mechad of Yira Nosi Savar, Lahav Palga, the Nokad Alei Mashkin, Nami Mishamet. Muslim of Zogn, that since Yira Nosi is arguing with Shim Gamliel, and therefore when he says that Shmit is Mishamet, he's saying, Lahach Halgin the Nokat Le Mashkin, Nami Mishamet, that even on the 50% that he's holding on that Mashkin, Shmit is Mishamet, and he cannot even keep the Mashkin. He has to give it back, because Shmita wipes away the Choyf. Give back the Mashkin. So Navi Mor asks the same kasha we asked at the very top, on the top line. El Mashkin the Nokat Lomalei, what benefit do you have of taking a Mashkin if every time they come Shmita, you're going to lose your mashkin, according to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, lose in the sense, you're going to have to return it, and you're not going to be able to collect a penny on the choiv. So in Bazoi, why even bother taking a mashkin? The mashkin is worthless if Shmita is going to mishamet the entire amount. The truth of the matter is, you're right, there is no real inherent value in holding on to a mashkin, according to Yehuda Nasi, if it's Shmita year, because you're going to have to give it back totally, and you won't be able to go and collect because it's Shmita. The person holding on to a mashkin is to remind you, the Malveh, that there is an outstanding choiv. Presumably this Malveh has other business deals and he has other loans outstanding. The Halter Cheshbin, he might say, I don't remember, did the guy pay me, didn't he pay me, did I lend him money, didn't I pay him money? If he's holding on to a mashkin, oh, yes, Yankel owes me the money. And therefore he'll certainly be careful prior to Shmita year to go and say, no, I've given you already 3 extensions, please pay the choiv here. Oh, you don't remember? Oh, look at this cost, look at the mashkin. You'll see it and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, Barry, you have a question.
Would Rabbi Yehuda Nasi agree that if the mashkin was equal to the value of the loan or more, that was not mishamet? I just want to clarify that.
Yes, that is according to Kuli Alma. Only machloikis is unpartial. But if it's a total, no question about it, shmit is not mishamet.
Thank you. I just want to clarify, thank you.
No, you did fine. If you want to take a look at the Rashi, Memches Amid Beis, Rashi is the second wide line all the way in the bottom. Hamalvol mashkin, ein shvius mishametes. So like Karina be lo yigois, shari ena toivei klub. The whole problem with shmita is like this: you're not allowed to demand payment or try to collect. I'm not trying to demand. I'm not trying to collect. I collected at the time that the original halvo was taken. That's why I have the collateral. Shmita does not apply. Shmita only applies if the mashkin is worth less, and that's the machlekes of Shem Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Good. Yes, I figured you would say that, so please share with the Choshev audience who's the father and who's the son.
Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
And how many Rabbi Shimon Gamliels were there altogether?
At least 2 or 3. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and there was also Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the father of, I believe, of Rabbi Gamliel, the brother-in-law of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, so probably 3.
Okay, so then you're saying that both, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's father was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Did I hear you saying that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a son also Rabbi Shimon Gamliel?
Rabbi Shimon, sorry, thank you.
No problem.
A son of
Rabbi Shimon, but not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's name wasn't Gamliel.
Yes, son of Rabbi Shimon.
Very good. Beautiful. Okay, Shkoyach, for the historical background. And now we continue on. We're up to Rav Kahana, two lines before the wide lines. Mem tes amad alav zokti ma Rav Kahana. This Gemara is going to remind us of the Gemara that we had yesterday with Rav Chiya bar Yosef. Remember, Rav Chiya bar Yosef had a situation that he was selling salt. Somebody paid him 10% on the salt. And guess what happened? The salt went up. Now the purchaser said, I want to have the remaining 90% with the old price that we agreed to. And Rav Chiya bar Yosef said, it's much more expensive now. I'm going to lose a lot of money, or at least I'm not going to get the opportunity to make a lot of money. So he wanted to change his mind. He went to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, you better give the entire 90% freitnishka kashis. Otherwise you get a misha para. That was yesterday's Gemara. So Rabbi Yosef said, I'm not talking about the keneged, the 10%. Of course I'm going to go and pay that. Question is the other 90%. Said Reb Yochanan, when it comes to Ervoinois, you gave an Erova and you gave a 10% down payment, can I get Kulai Hukaina? And therefore, if you don't make good on the sale and give him the other 90%, you're Oida Misha Para on that full 90%. We're going to have a halach over here with, it's almost the same case, but since it's Rav and not Reb Yochanan, the psak will be the other way around. So let's see, Rav Kahana Yavule Zuzi Akisna. Rav Kahana apparently was a flax merchant. He sold flax, pishtan, and somebody gave him Zuzi. How much? Again, let's say 10%, a down payment. The Seifa Yaka Kisna. And now over time, the flax has gone up in price. And Rav Kahana would like to now stop having to continue paying the, or giving the Kisna based on the old price. He wants to go and give it to him based on the new prices and make more money. Also, the comment that Rav Sarv Kahana comes in front of Rav, Omalei, the might, the Nikita Zuzi Havlahu. That you receive the 10%, make sure to give merchandise, give flax of 10%. That you have no choice. Even though the price may have gone up three times, makes a difference. Whatever money you received, you have to go and give him the goods. The Idach, but the rest of the 90%, that's Dvarim Ninu. That's just oral or maybe even written commitments, but it's only Dvarim. There was no money that changed hands. Certainly there was no kinyan, because you can't make a kinyan on the flax when it wasn't sold yet, right? I'm only giving him so far the 10%. He didn't make a mashikh or hagbo or any kinyan on the rest. Udvarim ein ben mishim michasurei amona. When it comes to stam to adibur, then it's no din that you become a mechusar aman. Mechusar aman means a person who is unreliable and untrustworthy, and a person that is dishonest. How do I know this machlek? Is it my dvarim? Dvarim means just words, meaning no money changed hands, no kinyan was made. Rav Amra, in vemish mechusar amana, then there is no din chusar amana. You can't go and say, ah, this person is dishonest. It was only dvarim. Oh, no, even if just was dvarim, it's still considered to be a chusar amana. And therefore, your word is your bond. Your word should be as good as gold. Don't make any changes. If you make a change, even though the market prices are against you, well, what can you do? Rabbi Yochanan says, Mechsuri Amana, on the entire transaction. So this is, it's almost an identical machlekes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rav said, you're only koine kenegdoi. Because Rabbi Yochanan, you're koine keneged everything. And therefore, if you don't, you the moicher, do not follow through and pay the other 90% of the merchandise to the lekeach, so then you're a mechusar amana. And like the Gemara said yesterday, it's a din of avo, the mishapara, for a person who doesn't keep his word. So now the Gemara continues. Frank the Gemara makes it. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Imer says in the pasuk, "Matam aloi mehin tzedek." Now, that's the middle of the pasuk. If you have the Torah Ora Shalem, you'll see it says Moizne Tzedek, Avne Tzedek, Eifas Tzedek, Vehin Tzedek, Yilachem, Ani Hashem Lekeichem, Shetesi Eschem, Eretz Yisrael. You have to be honest. Your scales have to be honest, and your weights, and your volumes, everything has to be honest. Now, Eifas Tzedek and Hin Tzedek are related. In which way are they related? So Rashi tells us in every Eifah you have six hints. Where is that Rashi? Rashi, it's the second narrow line from the top of the Amud. Hin b'chlal eifa, shai hin yud beiz loyin. One hin has in it 12 look. The eifa shloisha soim shehein ayin beiz loyin. An eifa has in 3 sa'ah, and that adds up to 72 loyin. So a hin is 12, and your eifa is 72. 12, as you know, is 1/6 of 72. So now getting back to the pasuk and the gemara, it says in the pasuk hin tzedek, v'halei hin b'chlal eifahay. Hin is only a subset. Yesh b'chlal masayin mana. More than that, it's 1/6. It's only a small percentage of an eifa. And what does the Torah tell you? Eifa tzedek yilach. Make sure that your big eifa, that it's going to be totally honest. Tzedek. No monkey business. So, madach and eifa is already said in the pasuk, so every part of the eifa is included. So the hin, after all, if there's a problem, the hin is a problem, the eifa, right? The eifa is 72 lulim. And one out of, we just said a hin is 1/6. So I'm putting together my entire eifa. I have 5/6 of the eifa. I have already 60 lulim, all set aside. One hin, which I'm adding now to make up the entire eifa, only has 11 loyin. It doesn't have 12. I'm going to go and add that to the rest of the eifa. That means 60 plus 11, I'm only going to have 71. So having a chisorin in a hin, by definition, is a chisorin in the eifa. The Torah already said that it has to be an eifa aesthetic. And if an hin is b'chlal eifa, that means every hin has to be a full 12 loyin. So in Bazoi, why does the Torah repeat this hin said? Eloi malach. We're going to darshan. The word hin over here doesn't mean a volume of hin, which is 12 lugim. It means the word hein. Hein means your yes. When you commit yourself and you say yes affirmatively, it's got to be hein shulchot tzedek. Falav shulchot tzedek. And if you say no to what other type of arrangement, then your life also has to be tzedek. Whatever you say has to be tzedek. With that being the case, that's talking about Dvorim. So how could Rav say, then when it comes to Dvorim, I have this drasha of Chazal, that the word hen doesn't mean hin, but it means hein, that your dibur has to be betzedek. So Rav is arguing with this Tanner of Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi, no, you're misunderstanding Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Ahu shel yidaber echad bepeh, v'echad b'leif. Person, when he is speaking, he shouldn't go and have in mind X, and he speaks Y. In other words, don't contradict what you are really thinking, what your real machshava is. So, when a person says a hein, he says yes, he shouldn't be thinking to himself, yes, but if something turns up, it'll really be no. No, 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 mister. If you say yes, it should be a bona fide, honest, full-fledged yes. That's the din of integrity, and that's the din of hen shulchot tzedek. So, oy bazoy, what do we mean that that by Rav said by Dvarim Eimem Chasur Yamana? It means that originally he said yes, and when he said yes, he meant it 1,000%. B'chol levavoy, b'chol nafshe, b'chol ma'oydoy, yes, 1,000%. Subsequently, things changed. When did things change? When the price of Kisna went all the way out of the market, started off originally $100, and now it's $1,000. Says Rav Kahana, I can't afford to go and give it away at $100. I have to go and buy more Kisna to go and supply to my retail customers. I'm going to go bankrupt. That's where Rav says, what you already agreed to, connected the price. In other words, you paid 10%, you're entitled to get 10%. The other 90%, that there is no mechsar yamana. I have Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that you have to have hen tzedek. That means b'shas masa, when you made up the original price, don't already have in mind, oh, if things change, I'm going to do it differently. No. Hen's got to be tzedek. If things change in terms of the market later on, that's a new event, if you will. Rav says, gabi that, there is no din on mechsar yamana. Okay. Zokti morvayt ha-meisveh. Another kasha on Rav. Now we're repeating the brisa of yesterday, word for word. Reb Shimon Oimer, Av Bishal Mutalis Koine Dinner Zov in Dinner Zov Koine Talis. This was a follow up on our first Mishnah in our Perek. that you know we have Peira and Tiva, that you have to make a kinyan on the Peira, and with that you're koine the Tiva. Min ha-toira, machloikis, Rabbi Yochum, Reish Lakish, Mois koines, Olav koines. But everybody agrees that now mid-Rabbanon you have to make a Mashiach, and the Mois are not koine by metalka. So therefore, Zuk Reb Shimon, Av Bisha Omru, Talis koine dinner. Talis, of course, is the metalklin. If you make a Mashiach in the metalklin, then you're koine the dinner, you're koine the money. Dinner Zov. Vein Dinner Zov, Koin the Talis. However, if you make a Kinyan Dinner Zov, you hand over Dinner Zov. That's the Matbeya, that's the Tiva. So then, you're not Koin the Talis. Why not? Because, at least Midrabanan, according to Shlokish, even in Atayra, Mashiach is Koin, not money. So if you hand over the money, Gunished. Ein Dinner Zov, Koin the Talis. So that's the Mishnah that we started off our Perek, and this is Reb Shimon who's further developing it. But now continues Reb Shimon. Mikol Makoyim, even though Kach Halacha, although that happens to be the rule, Avadi go to Bezdin, this is certainly the rule. However, Avul Amro, we have the famous Halacha Misha Parmi, Anche Dar Mabu, Anche Dar Aflaga, who was the Parmi Misha Einoi Oymed Bediburoi. If you're not going to be Oymed, your Dibur Chas Hashem is going to be on that individual, a Misha Parmi. Now, on the surface, what is the Gemara asking? You're saying, according to Rav, that you're allowed to go and change your dibur. I see the finish in the Brisa. That is a Misha Para. The boy said, we don't have to ask this from the Brisa. We already have in our Mishnah that there's a Misha Para. What is the Gemara bringing from the Brisa? But moreover, there's a major difference between Rav and the Brisa. The Brisa is talking about that they gave the money. He gave the dinner Zohav. Avada dinner Zohav is not koin of the talis. Why is it not koin of the talis? Either because min ha-toira you have to go and do a Mashiacha, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, min ha-toira the dinner Zohav would be koin of the talis, but if Zayr Hashem Yoimru, this from Chitecha Baliyah. Fine. So it's not a Kenyan. But nevertheless, there's a Misha Parah. You gave the money. According to Rabbi Yochanan, remember it's even easier why there's a Misha Parah, because min ha-toira mois ha-koinas. So even though the Chachamim relaxed that and said, no, because of the Gzeri Shem Yoimru, this was Chitecha, you gotta make a Mashiach. But for it, min ha-toira mois ha-koinas. So say the Chachamim, even though we instituted this Gzeri of the Shem Yoimru, this was Chitecha, but nevertheless, min ha-toira, it's still koina, and if you're gonna violate that, you get your Misha Parah. And Reish Lakish said, yeah, I'm also masking to that, even though there is no mois koinis minatoyer. But fart, since you gave money. So it's a dibur plus giving money. That was the distinction the Gemara made yesterday. Listen, just stam a dibur. Dibur plus money, that's already an action. No, you get a Misha Parah. But here, all he gave was the 10%. On the 10%, Rav agrees, of course you have to pay 100% of the 10%. But we're now discussing an argument with the other 90%. Of that 90%, there is no Misha Parah, according to Rav. And that Brisa is talking about that there was not just a Dibur, but he actually handed over the funds. This Dinner Zov that we're talking about was for 100% of the price. That's why there's Misha Parah. Says Rav, there's no Misha Parah on the other 90%, because not a nickel, not even a penny was paid on the other 90%. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? So Iker Chosim in a Sefer, the real kasha is not from what the Gemara brings, but what the Gemara does not bring. Because you remember yesterday, the Gemara continued on. In fact, let's take a quick look at yesterday's Brisa. This was Mem Ches Omen Aleph. Starting at the very top, we just quoted in the Gemara word for word, Reb Shimon Oimer, Abba Misha Omer Talus Kain Adin Azov, Ein Din Azov Kain Adalus. We call him Mokim Kachaloch. Abba Omer Misha Parah Miyantudar Mabel Miyantudar Afloga, etc. Who also the Parah Misha Eno Imed Diburai. That's where our Gemara just ended now. But continue the Brisa. Va'anoise ve'noisim bedvorim loikana va'achoyzer boy ein ruach ha'chama noiche emanu. Even though we're only talking about a Dibur, nevertheless, the Chachamim are upset at a person like that. The Chachamim are not happy. Uh-huh. So what do I see from this? That if it's just Dibur bi'alma, there's no Misha Parah, but there's Ein Ruach Chacham Noichemen. And that's now the Kasha on Rav. How can Rav say, Ein Behem Mishum Echsuri Amana? Nothing happened, you know, okay. we only paid, the lekech only paid 10%, and the other 90%, you're free to do whatever you want. What do you mean you're free? We just said now, ein ruch hacham noichem el. And if you're wondering, where do I take this from? Look at the Rashi. Rashi's about 20 lines from the top of the Amud. Avul omru chachonim, seif ekatoni achoizim by ein ruch hacham noichem el. Alma yesh behem mishim lechsari avana. Okay, you don't get the curse of the Mishapara, fine. But there's still, the Chachamim are upset at a person like that. After all, if you said, I'm going to go and give you 100% based on that original price, and then the price of the Kisna goes up, no, I feel bad for you, but that's business. What happens if the price of the Kisna would have gone down? Then you would have tried to enforce the other 90%. Sure, we made a deal, and it was a deal, how can you change your mind? Okay, sometimes the market goes up, and sometimes the market goes down. Everybody knows that. That's what it means being a soicher in the market. If we say, that means that there is a problem with chsari amana. So the kasha from this braisa is not from the avol omru mishapara, but it's what's missing from the braisa that we quoted yesterday, that even though it's only devarim ba'alma, no money changed hands on the other 90%, nevertheless, it's still am chsari amana, ein ruch hacham noichem el. Evidi mor tanoihi, this machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, is a machloikis tanoim, and Rav holds like another Tana. Who's the other Tana? Now we learned in the Mishnah. Ma'is Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, Shomad of Noi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya was going away for a couple of days, and he said to his son, we need in the meantime to continue the business. Tzei yoscharu lenu poyalim, go and hire for us workers, that they should go and do the work that is necessary. Holach, so he, the son, went out to go and hire workers, Pasuk lehem mezaynus, and he agreed to give them a nice amount of mezaynus. In other words, this was a situation where they didn't pay money, but rather he's going to supply them mechvais with one meal, two meals for their work. When he came back and he saw his father, in other words, when the father returned, and the father heard that he gave them that much mezaynus, the father felt that he is overpaying the payalim. These payalim don't deserve both breakfast and lunch. They only deserve breakfast. Or they don't deserve a breakfast, a five-course meal, only two courses, whatever it was. So the father told to the son, Omoloi, he told him in a very gingerly fashion. In other words, he was probably quite upset at his son, but he told him in an idler form, Bini, even if you're going to go and offer to them as their payment for their services, which means a huge royal banquet with 15 different courses, still not enough. These are the chosen people. These are the children of the Uvzak Toishim. They deserve the quest to see them. Hello. Please go back to them. They haven't started work yet. And change the deal. Instead of giving them the mezaynus, the one or two meals with five courses, only thing I'm going to give them is the pas v'kitnias bilvad. This is what Reb Yochanan ben Masya told his son. If you're going to tell me every time a person makes a verbal commitment to go and do something, he better keep it, because otherwise he's a mechusar amana. He's one of those people that we learned in the Braisa, ein ruach chachomim noichehemenu, if he changes his mind. So how did Rabbi Yochanan Masi say to his son, change your mind and tell them, sorry, we had further thoughts overnight. Instead of the mezaynus that we promised you, we're only going to give you pas v'kidneis. Metunas nishmachin, you're not allowed to. We just said, ein ruach hacham anoichem manu. Ein there's a chsuri amana. What's going on? And for the marishani hosum, the piyam gufayli samchud datayim. There, it's not only that on the side of the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, nothing happened. It was just a verbal statement. Even they, the payalim, were not soymech. They did not rely on this promise of food. My timer. They realized that the son is really powerless on his own. He did not have authority. He's still a yingala, new to the business. He knows that all major decisions and even minor decisions are made by the father, and therefore, even though they heard Mezainis, as soon as the meeting ended, they all got together and they said, we know, Rabbi Yochanan Masya, halavai, we get 10% of what the son promised us. He's never going to agree to give Mezainis a royal feast, and we're only going to get something much more modest. So therefore, there was never a meeting of the minds, and so therefore, you don't even have a dibur. The dibur was just, at best, you know, machshavas, thoughts that were exchanged, but they all knew that this is not real-time negotiated final terms. So why does it say, if m'lo yischilu, then the father said to the son, since they didn't start yet, tell them only pasvei kidneis. Even if they started, the malacha, why can't the father say to the son, tell them that we changed, that it's not mezoinis, it's only pasvei kidneis b'lod? Now that's already a different story. If they've already started the work on behalf of the father and son, then the same mechtas that they're going to go and get the original terms of the mezoinis that the son offered them. Why? Because how would they say? It must be that father returned from whatever vacation, whatever trip he was, and now he asked the son, Nu, what are the terms? Must be that he told his father, and the father said, yes, it's good. Otherwise, he would say to the son, tell the pialim, don't start working, wait, we still do not have a deal. The fact that he lets them begin working in the field or wherever, Muzdaf Zayin, that the father agreed to the terms, and now the Poyalim say, oh, okay, so that's the final deal. I mean, they're letting us start the job, must be that's the final deal, and therefore there is a meeting of the minds, and that's why once Hischil of a Malacha, then certainly you have a problem of the Mechsari Aman. But before you started, there is no such issue. Anyway, so what do I see from this? I see from this that even though we're talking about Devarim, said Rabbi Yochanan Masi, you're allowed to go and change your mind, says Rav, that's what I said. But when it comes to Devarim alone, Ein behem mishum chsori yamana. We have that other brayser that says that even by Devarim, Ein ruach hachamim noichemenu, is a machloek istanoi. That's what Gemara says. It's kitanoi. I, Rav, hold like Rav Yochanan ben Masya, and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like his namesake, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, but he holds like the Reb Shimon of the Braisa previously, that even by Dvarim, if you change your mind, ain't Ruch HaChomim Noiche Hemen. Okay, so we try to challenge Rav, and now we're going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you change your dibur, yesh behem mishum chsori yamban. Frank him on me, Amr Yochanan. Hachi, the Amr of Rabbi Bachana, Amr of Yochanan. Hoyv lechaveir matan ani noisilach. I'm going to give you a present. Yochalach zeboy, he's allowed to, not he's allowed to, he's able to change his mind. Frank him on Yochal. Pshit, of course he can change his mind. Until you hand over the present, no kinyan has been made. So, halachically, you're allowed to, like Reb Shimon's Braisa. Alpha Bisha Omru, Talis Koine, Vein Dinner Koine, the Komogan Kach Halacha, that's Halacha. Yeah. The strict Halacha is, even though you've given money, once, if you have not made a kinyan, you can go and change your mind, but there's a Mishapara. In our case over here, he just said, I'm gonna give you the Matana. He didn't hand over the Matana. There's no money payment, because it's a Matana. And there was no Mashiach, no Hagbah, no Kinyan on the Matana. He just said, oh, Imam, I'm going to give you a Matana. So of course, Yochel, he can go and change his mind. That's the Halacha. So, Peter, Ella, it's not Yochel, Ella, Mutter Lachzabai, Lechatchila, he's allowed to change his mind. How can you change your mind? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, anytime a person says, a Dibur, Yesh Behem Mishim Chusari Amana, what's going on? It really depends on the size of the matana. Is it a grace matana or is that kleina matana? If a person promises, let's assume we're not talking about a multi-billionaire, we're talking about a regular, normal person. He goes over to somebody else and says, you know, I love you so much, I'm going to go and buy for you tomorrow a Tesla. I'm told that a Tesla is a very expensive car and it starts at 60,000 or 80,000 or whatever the amount is. Now, the average individual doesn't give presents of Teslas. And therefore, the Lekeach, or the Mekabel HaMatana, says to himself, we'll see. Ich HaMoira, that from now till tomorrow he'll have a change of heart. I'm not going to count on it. If he gives it, I'm delighted. But if he's not going to, okay. I don't really count on it that he's going to give me this Tesla. However, what happens if he says to him, oh, tomorrow I'm going to go and buy you a package with 20 pens, big pens, and the whole package is 99 cents. That I can rely on. After all, a 99 cent package, 5 pennies for every single pen. Yeah, yeah. That he's good for. I know he's going to pay it. You are Seymach Das. Ah, so that's what Gemara is telling us. When Rabbi Yochanan said, here, that we're talking about a matana meruba. Why can he be choizer? Because even the makabel matana is not Seymach Das. It's just like the payalim. He's not going to, he's dreaming, and he probably had one schnapps glazel too many, and therefore he's talking, he's saying foolishness. I'm going to get a Tesla tomorrow. And therefore, if he changes his mind, mutalach leboy, because neither he nor the potential mekabel take his dibur seriously. But if you're talking about a matana mu'atis, 99 cent package of 10 or 20 big pens, you know, that I very much expected. On something like that, he is not allowed to have charata. Says Rapapa, Umayy Rabbi Yochanan the Samchan the Tayyidin, you cannot change his mind. And if you change your mind, Yesh Mehen Mishum Chsur Yamana, you can go and say, this guy is not reliable. He promises to go and give Matan Mu'atas, and he didn't give it. So Timur HaChanami Mesav. And I'll bring you a raya to this. To Umar Bavo, again, Umar Rabbi Yochanan. Yisrael Shomel Ben Levi. Yisrael has a friend, a lady. Rashi says, although the Gemara says Ben Levi, every lady is called a Ben Levi. So in other words, we mean a lady. So Yisrael says to a friend called, who is a lady, says, Kur Masi Yesh Lecha B'yadi. I want you to know, I have a very large amount of Mas Rishayin, which I can give to any lady, but I'm going to give it to you, my good friend, you, my friend, Mr. Levi. So it says, they've said, Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Levi Rishoy La'asoy Sitru Mesmais Al Mokeh Mach. This is such an ironclad commitment to what he says to Madibur and Amira. I'm going to go and give you the Maser, that Ben Levi can already rely on this to go and give Trumas Mais. As you know, every time a Levi receives Maser Rishoyin, he has to go and give Maser Min HaMaser, which is called Trumas Mais, and he has to give that to the Kohen. Until the Levi does that, and then his Maser Rishoyin is like Tevel, he's not allowed to go and eat from it. So this statement alone, that I'm going to give you the Kohen Maser, it's going to be yours. The Levi can rely on it like on the rock of Gibraltar. He can already be mafresh trumas meiser on the meiser. Zokti mar iamis b'shleimelim matzilim mehedre bay mishem hachi rishoy. If you're going to go and tell me that when a person says a dibur, he cannot change his mind. Leimatz, he's not allowed to go and change his mind. That's why then Levi can rely on the Israel's presence. Eliyam is Muslim Mahedr Bay, he's going to tell me that you can go and change your mind. Am I Rishoy? How can the Levi rely on this present, which he has not even received yet, to go and give Meiser, after all, to give the Meiser and a Meiser to the coin from his Meiser? Maybe he'll change his mind, and then I will not receive it. Ishtaka to Ka'achel Tvalim. What's going to happen is that our Levi thinks that he's given Trumas Maisa, but he hasn't, because maybe tomorrow the Yisrael changes his mind. He'll never get that Maisa. And he's going to be eating Tevel when he did not give Trumas Maisa. So therefore, I see from this that you can rely on a person saying, I'm going to give you a Matana. Now, although it sounds like a huge Matana, Kur Maisa Yesh Lecha B'yadi, Rashi said, no, it's really a small Matana. Why? Because what does the Yisrael own in this Kur Maiser? Only the Toivas HaNo'a to go and give it to this lady as opposed to any other lady. No, how much is the Toivas HaNo'a? That's already, that's not a Kur. Maybe it's $5, maybe it's $10, but it's a relatively modest amount. And therefore, when a person says, I'm going to go and give you this Kur Maiser, where the Yisrael only owns a $5 or $10 value, a little commission, if you will, in this mitzvah, in this tevis anah, since this is so insignificant in value, says the Gemara, the Levi can rely on it, like Rabbi Yochanan said, matanam u'etis samcha datai. You can be samach das. Anyway, so bottom line, the Gemara says, I have a good tishtar keraya, hochanami mistavra, that's what Rabbi Yochanan holds, matanam u'etis, you can be samach das. Zoktimar nishkeraya, hochamai iskin, going to not limit men of a chazan if kido ed sloy. It could be talking about that the Yisrael, not only did he promise the Levi, I'm going to give you my kor meiser, he said to the Levi, come on over to my storage bin and make a hagba, make a galila, make a mishicha, make a kenyan. I know you don't have room for all of this in your storage bin. That's okay. And I'll keep on holding on to it. If that's the case, we're not just talking about Dibur, we're talking about a Maisav and Mashiach and Akinyan. The Chavada, then the Levi can rely on the Yisrael, that he's going to give it to him, because it doesn't belong to the Yisrael anymore. The Yisrael is just a Shoimer on this Maisav. Freitimara, if you're telling me that that's the Pshat, let's continue on in the Sefer of that Mishnah that you just quoted. No, still ben Levi Acher. What happens if the Yisrael, instead of following up on his commitment to give all of this kor meiser to the Levi, he gives it to another Levi, and they all of elatarimus. The first Levi can only have a complaint. In other words, not a monetary complaint. He can only be upset at him and scold the fellow and say, "What did you do to me? You promised, you didn't give it to me." The Esau Kadaita is going to not be men of a chazav kido etzlai. If you're going to tell me the pshat like you just told me a moment ago, that he actually made a kinyan in it, a mitzvah mashicha, amayin li'aluf daroimis, kivin amachim amoynis le'gabay, tosnach minds. You're just holding on to a pikadon. You gave it to me. I made a kinyan in it. Elav muzin dachzong shma mila b'duloy not like. Then in fact, he did not take it into his hands. He did not make a mashicha. It was just a verbal commitment. I'm going to give you all of this, my sir. What's the halacha? Shema mino. I see that Rabbi Yochanan held. When you're talking about a matana mu'etas, then you can be samech das that he's going to follow up and he's going to be mekayim and fulfill what he said. And if he doesn't, then you have not that you have an action against him, but this person will be over on the inyan of he is a mechusar amana. He is not a trustworthy individual. You cannot rely on what this person says. Therefore, we have now brought a nice raya that Rabbi Yochanan distinguishes between a matan and mu'etes, that you can be seimach das, and you don't have to worry. And in fact, if this person changes his mind, Osir lachser boy. Otherwise, he's going to get on him the ein ruach hachamim noichem menu, and he's going to be branded an unreliable individual, what we call a mechusar amana. And on the other hand, if it's a matana meruba, even though you shouldn't go and promise things that you don't fulfill, but you're not considered to be a mechusar amana because even the recipient says, he's going to give me a Tesla tomorrow. This is Alice. Delusional chaloimus. None of that is ever going to happen. Okay, now the Gemara gives us another story. A person who paid money for shumshmi, for either poppy seeds or sesame seeds or whatever, and he only paid him 10%. And then afterwards the shumshmi went up in price. Hadrabahu, and now they want to have a change of heart. I don't want to supply you with shumshmi at the price of chlais. $1 a pound, I'll supply you to $2 a pound, $3 a pound. He wants to change his mind. And they said to the purchaser, less than shumshmi. Sorry, we don't have any shumshmi to sell you. Shkoil zuzach. Take back your money. You paid the 10%. You haven't received anything yet. We cannot supply with the shumshmi. Sorry, we don't have any. Take back your money. The purchaser, of course, was very furious. And he slammed the door on him. Loi shokel zuze, I'm not taking back my money. I want to get my shimshimi. We made a deal. I gave you the money already. I want my shimshimi. At least for the 10%. They didn't give him any shimshimi at all. He left the money there. And guess what happened? Ignav, during the night, Kenovim came and they stole the money. Also, the comment of the Rava, now we have a dintoy in front of the Rava. Amalei says Rava kimin the Amri Lach Shkozuzach v'loy shaklis. They offered you to go and take back your money, and you didn't take it. Not only don't they have a status of a shomer sachar, where they would be chayiv b'gneiv v'aveidim, elafilu shomer chinam nami lehaver. They're not even a shomer chinam. They don't even have to worry about pshia, because they told you, take it, don't leave it here. You left it there. That was your own negligence. It was not the negligence of the seller of the shomshmi. These guys are bad guys because they took the money and they never gave the shumshimi. So there should be a mishapara, at least to the extent of the 10%, and perhaps for the whole 100%. That, of course, that's the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan that we had already yesterday, that we quoted before. When you get a mishapara, is that only kenegdoi, or is it the whole 100%? But avada, the seller is not a nice guy. He's changing his mind after he got already paid the down payment. You're 100% right. Now what means you're 100% right? Says Rashi, 6-7 lines from the bottom. Oy mishal mishumshman, oy kabel mishapara. It's the moicher avada, there's no question about it. He either has to pay the shumshimin because that was the deal, or yikabel mishapara, or he has to makabel on himself a mishapara for not following up and fulfilling the contract. But I wasn't talking about the moicher, I was talking about the lekeach, the vis-a-vis lekeach, that he left the money there. You shouldn't have left the money there. You left the money there, that was really your own headache, because they told you, take it back, and by leaving it there on the table, if it was stolen thereafter, you have no taina on them, they're not even a shermachin. Now you're asking, but what duty do they have vis-a-vis him? Their duty is either to in fact give the shermachin, because that was the deal, or the makabal mishapara, as to how many shumshim they have to pay, and what is the degree of the mishapara, that would be the machlokes again between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan that we had before, whether it's only kenegdai or keneged kulai against the entire amount of the original supply contract. Zokti morabaita, omra papa, omra papi, omli ravina, lididi, omli humarabana, rafaba shmei, the amulet of shmuel bar, zutu shmei, the haba yavi le kochalola, the almali haba kamishana medibura, but the di haba uvda, halu yoima, and it was totally different than what we said. What the Gemara is going to tell us is now that the story that we just heard about this Bar Shumshimi, that he wanted to change his mind, and we have a Mishapara situation, etc., the Gemara is going to say we made a couple of mistakes in retelling the story. It's like a case of telephone. You have 10 people, the first person says to the second person what the story was, and the second repeats it to the third, and the third to the fourth, and the fourth to the fifth, and by the time you get to the 10th person, the story is much different than the first version that was the real story. So the Gemara is telling us, Omer Rav Papi, four lines to the bottom, Omer Ravina, Ravina says, Lididi Omeli Yahume Rabbanan, to me, personally, I'm a first person account. This Rabbanan told me, what was the name of the Rabbanan? Rav Tavi Shemei, and others say his name was Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shemei. The Haviyavile, this person Rav Tavi, or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, was such an honest individual. Even if you would give him kol chalola the alma, the entire hollow of the world. In other words, you give him everything in the world. He would never change his dibur. If he said he's going to go to X, Y, or Z, you can go and give him $1 billion. He's never going to go and change his mind. His word is gold. His word is his bond. So what did Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra or Rav Tava say? This maisa that you just told about the shumshimi, that happened to me. And as you know, you just heard, I would never change my mind. What was the story? I'll tell you the story. The story took place on Friday, shortly before Lechtzin. I was there preparing for Shabbos. Basu Gavra V'koyababa. Person, a potential customer, comes to my door and knocks on the door. And apparently, Rav Tavos or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra was a Shumshami supplier, and this person is a customer, and he says, here, I have money. Omali Islah Shumshami Zvuni, can you sell me some Shumshami? It's almost Shabbos. I want to use the Shumshami for dessert Friday night. Can you sell me some Shumshami? Amrilena told him, Loi, unfortunately, I don't have any Shumshami to sell you. So he said to him, well, I cannot take the money home any longer, because by the time I'm going to take the money home, it's going to be Shabbos already. And an Erev, Mitmukta, all types of issues. Probably Erev wouldn't be an issue, because then how would he take the Shumshami home? But at least it would be Mukta. So what do I can't hold Mukta in my hands? What am I going to do? Amali lehevi hanach zuzib bikon gabach. So the customer said, do me a favor, I don't have enough time to go home with these monies, and it's going to be mukta, it's almost Shabbos. I want to leave the monies here with you as a pikadon, I'm going to pick them up on Motzei Shabbos. Amrilei, so now Rav Tavas or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra says back to the individual, Habesa kamach, my house is all yours, do whatever you want. The house is in front of you. So he didn't accept upon himself that I'm going to be a shomer. Remember, shomer has to go and dig a hole and put it into the ground or into the walls or into the ceiling if you want to be a shomer. He said to him, the house is yours. Do whatever you want. He put a tack in the house and it was stolen. And now, again, there's a dintayra. Also, they come in front of Rava. Omalei, says Rava to this customer, Kol hai beischa kamach, loy mi boi shem esachet lehave, lefel shem achinam nami lehave. Even though he said the beischa kamach, or gabach, he didn't mean to say, I'm going to go and protect it. He just meant to say, mister, it's on your own risk. You want to put it down here, gizim tahay. But I'm not taking the risk that it might, chas v'sholem, be stolen. Rashi over here doesn't say anything explicit on this. However, if you go to the Tosis on Memtes Amud Aleph, just turn back to the Amud Aleph, the Tosis talks about this called Ha-Besa Kamach Loimi Baya. If you look at the last two lines of the Tosis, if you go and tell the person, Knois Shorcha, yeah, you can bring your shor onto my property, Mashma V'eshmarena. That is mashma, I'm going to take care of it. Avul ha beisa kamach, salek atzmoy mishmir legamri. What he didn't say, I'm going to be a shomer. Remember, what did the customer say to him? He said to him, lehevi hanach zuzim pikon kabach. I want these monies to be a pikon. He didn't say, yes, I accept it as pikon. He just said, the door is open, do what you like. Ha beisa kamach. So it's on your own risk. If you want to leave it here, I don't have time to deal with it now. It's almost Shabbos. I still have to go to the mikvah. I still have to go and put on my shtamel and bekeshah. So you want to leave it here? The house is here. It's not going to go away. Do whatever you like. So that's what Tosis says. That's like Salik Atzbor. Silik Atzbor Mishmir Legam. He's telling him, I'm not a shomer. It's up to you. You do whatever you want. So getting back to, so as you can see, although the final psak over here was, he's neither Shem Esachim nor Shem Echinim, but it was not the same fact pattern that we thought initially, that the person paid him 10% and then changed his mind in the sesames. No, it had to do with a problem of that it was almost Shabbos and he couldn't take his money home. Frank Tiamara, I, Amri Lei, Va Amri Lei Rabban Lerova, Iboy Lei Le Kabuli Alei Mishapara, the Amali, stop. Don't you remember that the end of the story was, after Rava said that he's not even a Shem Mechinam, and therefore if the monies were stolen, it's your problem. But didn't the Rabbanan say to Rava, he has to go and take upon himself a Mishapara, because he agreed to go and sell the sesame, and now he is changing his mind. V'amali, and he answered, this was another part of the story that never took place. In other words, the original story was, like we just said now, a Friday night situation. And this brand new story that we had on the Amud Aleph, that he changed the price, this person never changed the price on anything. He gave him kol halola di alma, he would never change his dibur. I listen with the, that you're telling me that that he had a kabel mimi shapara. This never happened. This is old schalaimis. That was not part of the story. Okay, Rabbi, so we continue back to our Mishnah. At the very end of the Mishnah, it said, Reb Shimon, Oymer Kosher Kesef, Yodai Yodai Al Ho El Yoina. Remember, Rashi on the Mishnah said, how is Reb Shimon disagreeing with a Tanakama? If a person made a Kinyan Mo'ois on Mitalkalin, says the Tanakama, both parties can change their minds. Why? Because no Kinyan was made. Money was handed over. True. But no kinyan was made, and by metalkin, without a kinyan, both parties, the moicher and the lekeach, can change their minds. Reb Shimon said, no, not both parties, only the moicher, because the moicher now has both. Number one, he has the original merchandise, because the lekeach didn't make a mashiach yet. And number two, the lekeach has already paid it. So now he has both the money and the merchandise, yodei al halyoina, and therefore he's the only one that can change his mind, not the lekech. Tanya, Omer Reb Shimon, Amos, I wonder why I say this, but mancha kesef ha-peiris biyad moicher. When the moicher has both the kesef and the peiris, he has all the cards, so to speak. He has the money already, he has the merchandise. Av kesef biyad moicher, peiris biyad lekech. However, if he already handed over the peiris to the lekech, he can no longer change his mind. I don't understand what you're talking about. You're talking about that he is holding on to biyodai biyad moicheru. It's not that the kesef is in the hands of the lekeach. The kesef is in the hands of the moicher. And if the kesef is in the hands of the moicher, and the peiros on the part of the lekeach, of course, in Yochalach Sabai. The Gemara is going to ask that in a moment, Pshita. So the Gemara in the Havamina thought, when it says, Nesha Kasva Biyodai, it means that the money is still in the hands of the Lekech. Frank the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. Biyad Moicheru, the Brisa itself says, Avakesa Biyad Moicheru, Peiris Biyad Lekech, in Yochalach Sabai. So you're telling me that the Kesef is in the hands of Nesha Kasva Biyodai. You're telling me the Kesef Biyodai means that the Kesef is in the hands of Lekech. Biyad Moicheru. The Lashon of the Brisa says very strict and very correctly, Av Kesef Biyad Moicher, not the Kesef Biyad Lekech. So that doesn't make sense. Ela Nesha Demei Kasva Biyodai. Because the value of the Kesef is in the hands of the Lekech. Meaning that he received his payrise. Since the Moicher got his Kesef, since the Lekeach got his value, the Kesef equivalent, he got his payrise, then Eini Yochalach Sabai. Bring more Pshita, and of course, he got the money. He got the payrise, so there was a full Kinyan on all sides over here. He made a Mashiach on the payrise, he got his Mois. Of course, he can't change your mind. What's the Chiddush? Says Rav, I'll tell you, it's talking about that the lekeach and the moicher have another relationship. It's not just a relationship of buying the peiros over here, but it's also that the peiros are stored in a storage bin on the second floor of the lekeach, which is rented out to the moicher. Yeah, the moicher is holding on to the payrois because he's rented out the space. He rented it for a year. The marshal, he has a lease for a year. So all the payrois, those are all his. But it finds itself on the second floor of the lekeach. Lekeach was the landlord. He was the lessor to the lessee. So what's min afkimina? Says he more time in my tikkun rabban mashiach gzeir shemiyor b'loy mishmechach b'aliyah. Remember min atayra. What's the din? Mois are koinos according to Rabbi Yochanan. The only reason why we say that Mois are not koin midrabanan is only because of this gzeir shemiyoyim alayi disrutech aliyah. So what does that mean? That means if you're going to go and pay the moicher the money for the payers, and the moicher is going to continue holding on to the mushel, the bushels of wheat in his storage, and the lekech is not going to take collection, he's not going to take the story, the wheat, and he says, I'm going to leave it with you, Moicher. The Moicher says, that's fine, you pay me for it, no problem. I'm not going to charge you rent, you can hold on to it. No, I'm going to hold on to the wheat on your behalf. What happens if Chas V'Sholem, a week later, there is a fire that breaks out in the storage bin? No, nobody's responsible, it's a short circuit, but whatever it was, an accident, but there is now a Sreifa. What is the Moicher going to say? It's not my problem, it's the Lekeach's problem, because it's not my wheat, it belongs to Lekeach. Says Zokti Gemara, Here, so therefore we say that the kinyan is only chal when there's a meshicha because of this gzeira shema yomru lai nisru chedech lavia. V'hacha, in our situation where the aliyah really belongs ultimately to the lekeach, it's only muskar biad moichet. However, it really belongs to the lekeach. Hak b'shus in the lekeach ninu. Inafla deleika ba'oynis iu tarach ha'maisila. Here you don't have to convince the lekeach to go and do a meshicha. Why? Because maybe the moichet is going to say, oh, sorry, there was a fire that broke out and, you know, that's your headache. The lekeach knows it's his headache without the moichet having to tell him because this is his real estate, this is his property. So you don't need to come on to this gezeira. That's why the Gemara is telling you, as long as the money has been paid, even if he didn't take the pay raise. Normally we would say if you don't take the pay raise, at least the drabanan, because of the din of meshicha koina, he didn't make a meshicha. The closing never closed and the sale was never closed. But that's in a regular case. Over here, since the aliyah belongs to the lekeach, here I said that even though you didn't do a meshicha, you only made a payment, the closing has closed, and eini yochel lachzer b'ohim. One final story till we get to the Mishnah. Lugav de yoiv zuzi achamra. A person gave money for wine, to go and buy wine. After that he heard a week later that Parzik Rufila, he was a big minister in the government, that he's marrying off his daughter. And he's going to go and need tremendous amounts of wine. And what's going to happen? If he's not going to be able to get wine legally, he's going to go and just steal wine from all the townspeople. So the purchaser had already paid for the wine. However, he heard that Parzik Rufila is going to make a chasana, and he's afraid that Parzik Rufila is just going to go and grab his wine. His omalei, so he went back to the seller and said, Havli zizi, zuzi lebi'ine chama. I changed my mind. I don't need the wine. Please give me back my money. Now, nobody did a meshicha in the wine. Nobody picked up the barrels of wine. So there was only a kinyan of mois. Kinyan of mois are not, it's not effective vis-a-vis metalkla. So now, we had a machlokes in our Mishnah between the Tanakama and between Reb Shimon, where the Tanakama says both parties can go and change their minds, and Reb Shimon says only the moicher can change his mind, because the moicher is both holding on, in this case, to the peiros, meaning the barrel of wine, and he's also holding on to the money. So how do we bask it? Can the lokeach change his mind? Also, the comment of Chizda Omalei Kederach Shetiknu Mashiach B'Machrim Kach Tiknu Mashiach B'Lekuchais, and just like the Moichah can change his mind, we passing like the Chacham of the Mishnah that the lokeach can also change his mind. And so, therefore, he could change his mind and demand getting his money back. L'chayri would still have been a Mishapara. Maybe under these circumstances, there wouldn't be a Mishapara because of the major oinus over here, that Beit Parzik Rufila may go and steal everybody's wine. So the Gemara doesn't go into that. You'd have to look in the Mefarshim to see whether there would still be a Mishapara on this Lekeach, since he's having Harata from the original deal. Okay, now we start a brand new Sugya, the Sugya of Oino'ah, and we're going to get into the famous Sugya of Tagrei Lud. Today's Gemara is going to be very simple and straightforward. The major Tagrei Lud, that's going to be tomorrow. Look the Mishnah. What does this all mean? What this means is that the din of Oino'ah is 1/6. Remember, when we talk about Hilchei Sonoah, we're always talking about an established market price for a particular commodity. We're not talking about a commodity which is open to negotiation. So if you're buying a pen, the pen, Lamushel, costs $6. That's the thing. You go to any store throughout New York, it costs $6. If this moicher charges you $7, you've overpaid by 1/6. 1/6 of $6 is a dollar. You paid an extra dollar. That's called Oino'ah. And therefore, what happens if there is a din of Oino'ah? Number one, the moicher has been over the iser al toinu ishes achiv, but in terms of monetary, the person that has been cheated, now we have a machlokes. According to one man, the Omar, he's entitled to get his money back. According to another man, the Omar, he can go and ask for both. The Gemara tomorrow is going to, if you want to take, just take a quick look at Nun Amid Beis, turn to Nun Amid Beis, and the Gemara is about the same where we're holding on the Amid Beis on Mem Tes Amid Beis, Amar Rav Hilchasa, about 12 lines on the bottom, Amar Rav Hilchasa. Pachas Mishtos, Nikna Mekach. Yoyslo Shtos, Bittl Mekach. Shtos, Kona Umachzer Oino. What does this mean? What happens if a person charged for that pen that cost $6, he didn't charge him $7, he charged him $6.50. Since it's less than a shear, shtus, nikna mekach, and the Gemara calls it mechila. You have no taina, okay, the guy is a bad guy, don't buy any more schoira in his store because he overcharges you, but you cannot collect the amount of the oja charge because it's less than a shtus. Yoisashtus, instead of $6, he charged him $7.50. Bittul Mekach, the Mekach falls apart. Both can have charata, both the Moicher and the Lekech. Finally, Shtus, Kana, there is a full-fledged Kinyan, Umachzer Oino, but nevertheless, the Moicher has to give him back that extra dollar. Since he charged him $7 instead of $6, he's entitled to go and get back his $7, but the Shtus is Kana. The Mekach is kind. That's what Rava holds lahalacha. However, it's not so simple. Rashi over here in the Gemara says, like another mandiyama, which we're going to have later on, Reb Nosson, that a person who has been hit by a shtus, then he has yode al halyoina, and he can say either, I want my money, the oinoa back. Yeah, I'm happy with the pen. The pen writes beautifully. I want to keep my pen. I just want to share oinoa. That's the dollar, like Rava said. Or if he wants to say, no, you're a cheat. I don't want to buy anything from you. Give me back the full $7. Keep your pen, and I'm going elsewhere. Okay, that's a machlokes. So our Mishnah tells us that the oinoa of the shtus, how do you measure the shtus? Very simply. Arboa kesem, yesem arboa kesef, lesela, shtus lemekach. The price was 24. He's being overcharged 4. 4 out of 24 is a sixth. Then shtus lemekach, that's a din of oinah. And mosling mutter lehachsir, how much after the sale can the lekeach come to the moicher and say, hey, moicher, you overcharged me. Can he come a year later? Can he come a month later? No, no, no. He has to come to him almost immediately. At kedei shiro letager oy lekroivai. He has to be able to, Lamashal, go home and show it to his wife, or show it to another merchant, and they'll say quickly, you paid $7! Everybody knows that this is a $6 commodity, it's not $7. You've been gypped! He runs back to the Moicher and says, you gypped me by Ishtus. During that short time period, you can go and cry and complain of Oinah. But if it takes longer than that, no good. Exactly how much that shear is, we'll learn about that more Mi'etshem the Gemara tomorrow. In the meantime, the Gemara tells us Reb Tarfon b'Lud. Reb Tarfon was a visiting rabbi in Lud, apparently, and he said there, "Ho'ino shmoyne kes mi'esu ba'arba kesef l'sela shlish l'mekach." That what? That the shear is not a sixth, but the shear is a third. That if you overcharge by a third, so getting back to our example of the $6 item, instead of charging $7, which would be 1/6. He went and charged him, how much is a third of six? $2. He charged him $8. Oh, so he's overcharged him by a third of the original Mekach of the six. Charged him $2 more. Oh, that's when it's Oinah. When the Tagri Lud, those of the local merchants of Lud heard that, the Samcha Tagri Lud, they made Agam to Simcha, they made Agam to Suda. Why? Because until now they always had to be careful not to overcharge by a sixth. Here they're getting much more leeway. They can charge up to a third more. And then it has a din of a oinah. And then Rav Tarfon added, by the way, the kone, the lekeach, doesn't just have this short window of ad kedei shiro, the tag of the kroivai. He has a much wider a window of opportunity to go and challenge the overcharge. How long? For the entire day. When they heard that, Amru Loi, they said, Yeniach Lener, Mtafim, Bim Kaimenu, V'chazda Divi Chacham. In other words, Loi Mi Uktech, Loi Mi Duvshech. Thank you, Reb Tarfon, for increasing the 1/6 to 1/3. When we heard that, as you heard, we had a tremendous simcha. But now that you're also widening the window of being able to to try to renege on the transaction by saying, oh, I heard that you overcharged me, you've expanded that window from, let us say, an hour to the rest of the day, that's no good. We don't want at 5 o'clock before we close up shop 100 people online all complaining that we overcharge them, and therefore let's stay with the 1/6 as opposed to the 1/3. Zokimar, Itmar. We have a machlokes now in Rav and Shmuel. How do you measure the 1/6? This is the famous Malabar Malagav discussion. Although the Gemara doesn't use Malabar Malagav, but it's the same type of inyan. Rav Amar Shtus Mekach Sheninu. Shmuel Amar Shtus Mo'is Nami Sheninu. What do these words mean? So the Gemara tells us. Shavi Shita Mechamsha. Shavi Shita Meshiv. The item has a market price of 6. And he either undercharged the person, he charged them only 5, then the mocher has been nisana. The mocher has been cheated. He should have realized it was 6. Yes, it was his mistake, but lamaisa, he has been cheated out of a dollar. It's a dollar out of 6. That's 1/6. That's a shtus. Or shavishita mishiva. The lekeach has been cheated. That what? It's cost $6. He had to pay 7. It's an extra dollar. Therefore, you have a no. That's called the shtus of the mekach. Mekach means of the price. Everybody agrees that's a real form of vaynoa. Nothing to talk about. Keep thinking, where is the machloike shavi cham shebishita v'shavi shiva b'shita? Oh, the original price was 5, and he charged him 6. Okay, so what is the overcharge? The overcharge is 1 out of the 5. That's a 20% overcharge. That's not a shtus overcharge. That's a chaymish. That's a 5th overcharge. Or shavi shiva b'shita. This is again the undercharge that normally would cost 7, and he only had to go and pay 6 out of the 7. So the Shmuel, the Amar Basa Mois Azlinan, either I know I have it. Since Shmuel said, remember Shmuel didn't just say shtus mois, he said shtus mois nami shanino. Nu, I have a shtus here in the mois. Meaning, let's go back to the shavi cham shebishita. Really, the price is $5. I overpaid a dollar, I paid $6. So I overpaid by 20%. Says Shmuel, no, this is not called 20%, this is not called more than, this is a shtus. Why? Because you look at the entire transaction. What's the entire transaction? I paid $6. I overpaid 1 out of the 6. That's a shtus. Well, Rav said, what you just said now, Chas v'Shalom is a shtus. It's really 20%. It's a choymish, it's a nishka shtus. So, Larav, that's why he said, either, I know I have according to Shmuel, because you go, Basim mo'is nami azlinen. Larav, the Yomar, Basim mekach azlinen, shavicham shemishita, b'tol mekach avya. If you're talking about that he was 5, and he charged him 6, that's not oinoa of a 6th. That's yoiser mi oinoa. That's a b'tol mekach. That's the rubber that we quoted back on Nun Amid Beis, right, that we looked up about 5 minutes ago. That's Bittul Mekach. Everybody can change their mind and say, forget about it. You charged me 20%, that's more than the Shira Yidah. Shavi Shiva Bishita. If it was 7, he paid him 6. Mechila Havya. Because 1 out of 7, that's only 14%. 1 out of 6 is 16%. 16 2/3. So therefore, what you're charging me is less. The lekeach paid less than a shtus more. He only paid a 7th, not a 6th. That's mechila hava, and therefore the mekach is a good mekach after all. Okay, so the machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how you measure the shtus, only against the price or against the amount that he actually paid at the end. Shmuel kiyamin mechilu bitul mekach heicha delek shtus mishtei tzedodim. When do you say mechila if he undercharged, bitul mekach if he overcharged, vis-a-vis the shtus? In other words, mechila less than a shtus, bitul mekach more than a shtus. Heich lelech shtus mishtei tzedodim, where there is no concept of shtus on either side, neither shtus mekach nor shtus of the mois. Aber heich deikah shtus mitzad echad, like in our case, where although there's no shtus in the mekach in the price, but there is a shtus in the mois. That's usually the case of the 5 for 6. The real price is 5. He paid him 6. Okay, I agree with you that vis-a-vis the mekach, you don't have a shtus. It's really there a choymish. It's a 5th. But you agree with me that gabi the money, it's a shtus. as long as the shtus mitzad echad, oinah have has a din of oinah, and gabi oinah, like we said before, then the machloikis among the tanoim, what the din is by oinah, that by the shtus, whether or not the mecher is kayim, in other words, the deal is a deal, and you're just entitled to get back your overcharge and get back your shtus. Or do you say that you're the alal yoina, and he can say, I want back my money, I don't want just the shtus, I want everything. Good. Tonight. So now let's try to bring a raya for or against Rav and Shmuel from Hamishnah. It says the Mishnah, I know Adal Kesmi Esubarbo, Kesef Lisela, Shtus Lamekach. It's 4 out of 24, which is a 6. My love, the Zobin, Shavi, Esrim, the Arba. L'choyre, what the Mishnah is telling us is, the real price is 20. How much did he pay? 24. In other words, he added 4 to the 20. 4 out of 20 is a fifth. That's not a sixth. It's a fifth. It's only a sixth vis-a-vis the money. Then we pay 24 altogether. I should only have paid 20. So 4 out of the 24 is a sixth. So this is Shmuel speaking. And we have a right from our Mishnah to Shmuel. Ushmami no shtus mois navi shenino. It's not only a situation of shtus against the original price, but even if it's a sixth of the amount paid, that's also good. It also has a din of oinah. So the Chayyur Shmuel is right. After Malay, that's not the case in the Mishnah. The Zobin Shavi Esrim Barbo, the Esrim. It's talking about that the real price is 24. The Lekiach underpaid, he only paid 20. Oh, so that is a sixth of the 24. Six of 24 is 4. That's why he only paid 20. Ah, see, I'm not right. Shmuel is talking about Loit Rav, and it's just in the price, in the Mecca. Frank Timora, Minasana, who is the one that suffered a loss over here? The Moicher, because the Moicher wanted 24, he only got 20. Hey, Masefa, let's continue on to the safe. Ad Masim, but Al Hachsir, how long can you go and change your mind? Bechdei Shiro, the Tano, the Kroivoi. He has this slim window of opportunity. If the moicher was underpaid, he can always scream chai v'kayim, because after all, he knows what the price is. He's a tagger. He's the moicher. He doesn't need to wait for the tagger to tell him how much it's worth. However, he has suffered a loss, and therefore, he can even be choizer the next day, and even a week later, the oilam choizer. So, Ibazoi, how can you say that our Mishnah is talking about 24? For 20, that would be a case of Aino of the Moicher, that it's not limited to this Kinei Shiro Latagal Akroivai. And forever you can go and change your mind. Suzuki Moy, you're right. El Dizov and Shavi Esav Arbo, the Esav Tamanya, oh, the price is 24. And guess what happened? It went up. Not that it went up. He overcharged him. He said, you have to pay me 28. So he paid 4 more than the 24. 4 out of 24 is a 6. Oh, so that's the case of Shtus Mecca. So you have no right to Shmuel. We're not talking about a Shtus Mo'is. We're talking about a Shtus Mecca. Let's continue the Mishnah tonight. Oy Reb Tavin Balut, Oy Noa Shmoyne Kesef, Mi Esem Ba'arbo'o Kesef L'Sela, Shlish L'Mekach. Ah, we have a case of not 4 out of 24, we have 8 out of 24. It's Shlish L'Mekach. My love, aren't we talking about the Zobin Shavi Shitzri, the Esem Ba'arbo'o? Really, the thing was worth 16, and he paid 24. So he's paying 8 more than 16. And therefore, that's 8. 8 out of 16 is 50%. That's not a shlish. So why is the Mishnah referring to the shlish? Well, it must be because 8 out of 24 is a shlish. Ah, so we're not looking at the Mecca. We're looking at the shtus, or now the shlish of the Mois. Ushma min ha-shlish Mois, nami shenir zacharai teshmiel, akasha on Rav. The other way around. He sold 24 for 16. Ah, so therefore the extra, or this is the Moicher losing out, because he's only getting paid 16. He lost out 8. 8 of the original 24. Ah, so it's a Shlish Mekach. And therefore, we don't have a Raya to Shmuel. Frank Yomar, Minasana, who has lost money? It's the Moicher, because the Moicher only got 16 instead of 24. But Ema Seifa, continue on in the Mishnah. Amal Hem Kaliyem Mutalach, so Yom Ram Nachman, Leishanu El Lekeach, Amal Moicheli Oilem Choyzer. You are telling me that the one that was Nisana was the Moicher. So the Nisana, Moicher, it's not Kolayoyim. It's next day and the next week and next month. It's Leoilem. So Gemara Ella, brand new case. The Zaman Shavi Chavdalid Bitlosin Betrayed. The real price was 24. The Lekiach was overcharged 8 over the 24. He paid 32. 8 out of 24 is a third, says the Gemara. Therefore, if Vait is no Raya to Shmuel, we could be talking like Rav, and it's Ishtus Mekach, not Ishtus Mois. Very simple, short, Braisa Tani Kavasa de Shmuel. Remember, what are we talking about? Shtus even of Mois, not only of Mekach. Zok the Braisa Mishotel Allah, whoever was the unfortunate recipient of this Oinoah, in other words, the person who was Nisana, Yodol El Yoina, like we said before, what was Yodol El Yoina? Ketsa, Mochali Shove Hei Bevav. The real price was 5. He sold it for 6. Minasana, who's had the oino, it's lekech. Yeah, lekech alal yoina. Rotsa oimalei tenli ma'oisai. Give me back my $6. I don't want a deal. You're a crook. I want my whole money back. Oitenli ma'shinasan. You can only give me back, or I want to keep the merchandise, but give me back that $1 that I suffered. So before we continue, what do I see from the brisa? The amount of the mekach, the price was 5. He paid 6. That's not a shtus. That's a fifth, right? You pay 20% more. Oh, so right to Shmuel, that Shmuel said, the dinner of shtus is not only on the price, it's also on the ma'oz. Since he paid 6 altogether, 1 out of 6 that he overpaid, that's right to shtus, is a raya to Shmuel from this price. Now let's see the safe of the price, the same thing. Mochaloi, he sold in Shava, Sheish, Bechamish, the real price was 6, and he paid a fifth. So how much, what was the story? Minasan is the moicha. Yad moicha leyoina. Rotsa oimaloi, tenli mechi, oi tenli masha onisani. Either way. Now here we're talking about that it was worth 6, and he only paid a 5. So what was the shtus? It was 1 out of 6. That's the shtus mekach. That everybody holds. But the point is that the price was talking about a shtus mois. It said from 5 to 6. That's a shtus mois. That's oinah. Now the safe of the brisa says from 6 to 5, that's a shtus mekach. It's not 1 out of the 5 that he paid. It's 1 out of 6 that was the original price. Ah, so I see that both cases, shtus mekach and shtus mois, are both shtusim for purposes of oinah. Zati Yimara, I have a raya therefore to Shmuel from this brisa. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say to be continued tomorrow in Miyatza Hashem.